For Robert Kraft, buying the Patriots was not a one-step process. He first bought the parking lots, before soon acquiring the stadium out of bankruptcy. Kraft had spent the better part of a decade getting in position to secure the team. The long play would pay off, and on January 22, 1994, he fulfilled his dream of owning his favorite football franchise.
You're watching WBZ-TV Boston. Coming up next on WBZ News 4.
Sold. Tonight, the Patriots have a new owner. As News 4 first reported this morning, the NFL franchise was sold today to the owner of Foxborough Stadium.
He is the Patriots' white knight, Bob Kraft, the man who has been trying to buy the team since 1985.
So, the emotions when it was done, on the other side of it, when you followed through on that feeling of we can't let this team leave, what was the feeling when you knew after the long process and sort of plodding along the way to get the team, what did that feel like?
Well, it's surreal.
This was a unique opportunity that I had, and it really required me to stretch beyond where I ever dreamt I would have to try to secure this asset. But it allowed me to fulfill a dream, and in a way, I hope, serve part of the best interests of the community.
I remember we were sworn to secrecy. We went out to St. Louis and did the deal, and it was Jonathan and I and investment financial advisor. And when we met with Orthwein, and I had told my sweet wife that what we're going to pay, because I said we're going to try to go out and buy it. What are you going to pay? And I told her. And then we paid 50% more than what I told her, which was the highest price ever paid for any sports franchise anywhere in the world. She really went nuts when I came back. And the first thing she said, you know, it's the summer house in my name.
Myra Kraft wasn't the only one angry. The city of St. Louis thought they had a football team to replace the Cardinals, who'd fled to Arizona 7 years earlier. Missourian James Bush Orthwein had been expected to pluck the Patriots from New England, but it didn't work out, much to the benefit of Jonathan Kraft and his family.
They wanted to get Orthwein out of town before the announcement was made because, you know, he was James Bush Orthwein, and I think they wanted to get him out of St. Louis before the announcement was made because most people there thought the team was coming.
I'm not going to be the most popular man in the world there for a while.
We can sell you some season tickets here. You can move here.
If we had said that we bought the team, if we'd leaked it, the deal could be canceled because the lawyer for St. Louis, who was advising Orthwein, had helped build the publicly financed stadium in St. Louis, where eventually the Rams moved to. But if we had leaked it or told anyone, the deal could be canceled. And that's why Will McDonough, who was, you know, I think number one in the country for football reporting, went on Don Imus that morning and said, there's a noon press conference where it'll be announced that the Patriots are moving to St. Louis.
Yes, James Orthwein made a handsome profit. Yes, he did give us a few nervous moments, one story after another, warning of a move to his native St. Louis. But in the end, Orthwein delivered on his promise to sell the team to local interests. And that man is Robert Kraft, Boston businessman who ponied up with the Bank of Boston about $180 million to realize a personal dream. Tonight, Bob Kraft is the reason the Patriots have a new beginning.
So with that all background, I had talked to the then governor the night before, and I said, there's a chance. I carefully worded it so as not to, but if we can buy this team, will you assure me we can get a stadium done downtown? And we do things in our international business, you know, over 100 countries now. We do it by verbal commitments, and I was assured it would be the great thing, and if we could do it.
A new home for the Patriots would be a problem for another day. This was a time for celebration.
You know, for me, this has been a boyhood dream. And in a way, I hope all the people that have, young men or women, have shared a similar dream as kids, I hope they'll share this with me vicariously because the odds of it happening are really long shots. But I'm also mindful, as thrilled as I am today, I'm mindful of the responsibility that comes with it. And I know maybe today people view this very positively, but something's going to happen and there'll be people out there that will want to take us apart. And I just hope they're patient and they wait and see what happens over time, and we're going to give it our best shot.
Mr. Kraft came through with what I thought was a very fair offer, and I think that was the cleanest, least complicated way to proceed, and I think the fans of this area, as I have said from day one, deserve a team, and he made it possible for us to do that.
My objective in doing this is to help bring a championship to New England. We didn't do this to be a doormat for any of the teams. We do like to win. We think everything is in place to make that happen.
So I'm sitting there at the press conference and at the Ritz-Carlton, what was then the Ritz-Carlton on the Boston Common, and had the whole family behind me, and it was an unbelievable feeling. Sort of like the feeling the first game down in Miami when we're actually owner, even though we lost. You know, Drew Bledsoe went toe-to-toe with Dan Marino.
Back to throw, Bledsoe, second and four, pump fakes, shoots it to the end zone, Crittenden got it! A leaping catch in the end zone for Ray Crittenden, and the Patriots regain the lead on Drew Bledsoe's fourth touchdown pass of the afternoon. Direct snap to Marino, back to throw, shoots it to the right to Friars, got it! Touchdown! The fifth touchdown pass of the game for Dan Marino. And the Dolphins regain the lead with 3:19 to go in the game.
We lost in their home stadium, but we knew we had something pretty darn good.
Beginning with its transition to a rock station in 1968, WBCN quickly became the musical and cultural hub for the young people of Boston.
We have been in severe financial trouble here at WBCN. We're experimenting with new formats, trying to kind of feel our way around. This is March 15th, 1968. I'm Ron Delacquise. I'll be here tomorrow evening with another mixed bag of programming for you. As we mentioned, we're looking for funds here at WBCN. If you can help us, send your contribution to 171 Newbury Street, Back Bay, Boston. And now it's time for our revolutionary new experiment in radio. As we told you, we'll be taking you direct to the Boston Tea Party for our first live broadcast with Mississippi Harold Wilson.
BCN was the rock of Boston, and it was also regarded by many as the best rock station in America. The station had a special connection with its loyal listeners, including both Robert and Jonathan Kraft. You had really liked BCN, and you were close with some of the people there.
Tony and I, Howard on BCN. Howard was on at night because they kicked Bradley J's Sex Palace off the air.
Wait a minute. What was that you said about
what happens?
Pubic hair?
Pubic
hair.
Yes, I did mention that.
Marge.
When did Marge show up? Hello, Marge.
Oh, Jesus.
Hi, everybody.
It's the Sex Palace. It's BCN.
Tony Berardini was WBCN's longtime vice president and general manager.
This whole idea of putting the Patriots on BCN sort of formed out of the friendship that Jonathan and I formed when he was a fan of Charles Lacordaire's show. He used to come into the station all the time.
WBCN presents 104 Seconds with Dwayne Glasscock.
Hello, Rangoon. Well, here I am, Dwayne Glasscock.
Jonathan and I got to be friends. We would go out to dinner. You know, after a few bottles of wine, it would be like, I knew they were involved in the stadium. And Jonathan and I would say, well, when are you going to buy the whole stadium? And then 1988 comes around and they bought the whole stadium. So at that point, I said, well, why don't you buy the team? And then let's put it on BCN.
For Berardini, the Pats and WBCN would make a great match. WBCN producers Mark Capello and Roger Moore recall what the station was like at the time.
It was fun. It was edgy. They were playing great music at the time.
Back then, they were coming off the punk of the 80s. They would play Tom Petty. They would play Led Zeppelin. They would play some Prince tunes and other stuff thrown in there like Echo and the Bunnymen. They were a format that people around the country tried to duplicate. I mean, you'd go to the beach on a Saturday afternoon, you'd be walking down, and you'd hear Carter Allen's voice wafting over the air because everyone's radio was listening to BCN.
I love the idea of having pro football on VCN, the Patriots especially. The person who really was instrumental in convincing me of that was the CEO of Infinity, Mel Karmazan. I called Jonathan up and I said, okay, you bought the team. Let's sit down. I want to talk about the rights. I called Mel up. I said, I got a meeting. He said, I'll be there.
Funny thing is, that was the first time Robert ever met Mel. I had met Mel before because I was interested in radio.
So Mel and Robert start talking. They're getting along famously.
Robert and Mel developed a very deep friendship after that meeting, which actually, when Mel was running CBS, allowed CBS to get the NFL back. So there's a whole chain of events that spun out of that meeting. We left, and everyone knew we wanted to do it, but neither Robert or Mel would put a number on the table.
Mel said, you guys figure out what your number is. You call Tony. We'll figure this thing out.
Tony called me later that night, and he said, what's the number? And Robert and I had talked about what the number was. I told him.
And I called Mel, and I said, this is what I think the numbers is for year one, year two, year three, three-year deal. He said, okay, I'll call Robert.
Mel called Robert the next day, gave him that number, and that's how it ended.
A day later, the phone in the car rings. It's Mel. And he said, okay, you've got it. He said, it's for $500,000 more than the number you gave me, but I'm sure you can do it. And I was like, okay. We had no sales staff. We had no idea how the hell do you do a football broadcast.
Gil and Gino were making the move to FM, but there were certainly more hurdles to clear.
The most important thing, in my mind, was the continuity of Gil and Gino. Literally, after we got the deal done with the Crafts, I got a call from Robert, who said, listen, it's your business, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I really, really would like to keep Gil and Gino on as our broadcasters. The thought never crossed my mind to do anything else.
Good afternoon on a crystal clear December afternoon.
It's both Mark Capello and Roger Moore were working on the Patriots broadcasts in their infancy on VCN, and Capello has worked every game since.
I think the initial thing was, what are we doing? It was like everybody was like, okay, let's sit down. How are we going to pull this off? Because nobody knew how to run. We didn't know how to run sports. Nobody knew how to run sports. They knew how to play classic rock. I mean, that's what they play. They were a rock station.
So were there screw-ups along the way, bumps in the road?
One time, I guess the feed went down, and Rich Kennedy was holding a phone to a speaker of a TV because our connection to the stadium, something happened, and we were like broadcasting the television speaker of the studio on a phone line because we had no other feed going on that day.
Was there ever a point where someone, whether it be in management or just anybody who was involved, think to themselves or express it to anybody else where they said, maybe we shouldn't have done this?
No, never. No, Tony Berendini, Oedipus, they wanted to do this. It was a good thing for the station.
The whole point was you're listening to clean, crisp FM stereo signal.
Now, the voice of the New England Patriots, Gil Santos.
Watch the road, rocking and rolling right now.
And Gino Cavalletti.
Forget about it.
Live. In stereo.
So you can experience football as you never heard it.
Turn down your TV, turn up your radio.
It's time to turn up your radio and turn down your television. The starting lineups with the call of today's game.
And people did it, too, because they wanted to listen to Gil. And listening to Gil and Gino in stereo was just magical. People loved it.
Batted in the air. Intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Got by Otis Smith. 30, 25. He's going to go all the way.
On the way. The Patriots win.
I'm telling you, years from now, school children will study it.
The New Rock Revolution. WBCN, Boston.
Football on WBCN was presented in a way that was similar to the rest of the station's programming. It was called the Patriots Rock Radio Network for a reason. It was anything but traditional, and it led to an in-game listener contest like no other.
The sale of the actual read came down like on a Friday afternoon. I wasn't going to be able to see Gil. When I showed him the reads prior to the game, when Gil first read, I'll never forget it, he looked at it and he goes, you've got to be effing me. And so we did it. It was a two-minute warning. It was the perfect read for the two-minute warning. Let's be honest.
215 yards. This two-minute warning coming up in just a second, brought to you by Lifestyles Condoms. We got Lee Johnson in to punt. If the Patriots score in the next 2 minutes, Shane Bernard of Salem, New Hampshire wins a pair of Patriots tickets and a prize pack of Lifestyles condoms. Visit WBCN.com today. for your chance to win.
I'll tell you what he probably had the most problem with that I remember is the BCN Rock Radio Network.
Let's take a timeout on the WBCN Patriots Rock Radio Network.
Gil was at WBZ for so long. It was a, you know, it was a news station. It was, you know, suits and ties. It was very serious. And the rock was, you know, it was loose. It was edgy.
It's like, what's with rock? I mean, you know, he didn't understand how that was relevant to what he was going to say. But he said, if that's what you want me to say, that's what I'll do. I mean, he was a pro.
He started to get really into it. Because at one point, he used to start saying, rock.
Time out on the field with a score. The Patriots 7 and the Rams 3 on the WBCN Patriots Rock Radio Network.
The first couple broadcasts that we had, we got majorly ripped. I remember one of the articles was, the headline was, BCN drops the ball.
I loved it. I loved the fact that they didn't like it. That was, quote, the lodge.
All the diehard sports people, the sports stations, they were ripping us because, like, what do these guys know?
Where you heard all of the criticism was from the people who had the broadcast before or who did broadcast.
They don't know anything. They're a rock station. They don't know anything about sports. Blah, 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 blah.
No, this is the way it's supposed to be done. This is how we do it.
I give Oedipus credit. He talked us into it, and he said, listen, we're going to do our own thing. We're not going to pay attention to anybody else. We're going to do it our way. And that's what we did. That's the true story. We did it the way we wanted to do it.
Screw you. We're going to do it differently. Guess what? The ratings didn't hurt. They criticized us all they want. But everybody listened.
Next time on Kraftwerk.
My objective in doing this is to help bring a championship to New England.
New England has won the American Football Conference Championship 20-6.
Robert Kraft's promise starts to pay off.